Today's daf is Gittin Daf Yotes. We are at the Mishnah, six lines from the top of Daf Yud Tes Amir Aleph. Today's daf is being learned by Ilui Nishmas, Chaim Elazar, Ben Yibadal Chaim, Reb Shimshin Aryeh. So the Mishnah now is going to turn its attention to discuss the laws of Ksiva Saget, how exactly a get needs to be written, and we're going to begin with what type of ink the get needs to be written with, and on what type of parchment does the get need to be written on. So we're starting with the basics on a very, very technical note. Zok the Mishnah, Bakol Koisven. You can write a get with anything. And then the Mishnah gives examples of what that everything is. Bidyoy, Visam, Visikra, Uvekumus, Ubekankantum. The Gemara is going to explain every one of these items mentioned. And then the Mishnah says generally, Ubechal Davashu Shal Kayam, and with anything that's going to last. So essentially, anything that a person wants to write a get with, as long as it's a Davar Shel Kayama, as long as it's not going to fade, it's going to have a kiyum, it's kosher to use to write a get. In Koisvin, the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to write a get, loy b'mashkin, not using liquids, v'loy b'mei peiros, or with juice, v'loy b'chol davar she'enoy miskayim, or with anything that's not going to have a kiyum. So the Mishnah gives examples of things that you can use for ksivas aget. The Mishnah gives examples of things that you can not use for ksivas aget, and the Mishnah gives us a rule to know what you can use and what you cannot use. If it's a dover shehu shel kayama, you can use it. If it's a dover she'enoy miskayim, then you cannot use it. What about parchments? What about the paper that you're writing the get on? Says the Mishnah, al hakol koisvin. You could write a get on anything. Al ha'olah shel zayis, on the leaf of an olive, va'al hakeren shel para, or on the horn of a cow, v'noisen la sapara. In the event that you're going to write the get on the horn of a para, so then you would have to take the actual para and give it to the woman that's being divorced. Al yad shel eved, you can write a get even on the hand of an eved, v'noisen la sa'eved, as long as the husband gives the eved to his wife. Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yosef Aglili said, ein koisvin, you're not allowed to write again. Loy al dover sheyesh bei ruach chayim, not on any living organism such as an eved or a para. V'loy al oichlin. Additionally, you're not allowed to write again on oichlin, on food. Everything that we just mentioned is going to be discussed in the Gemara. So the Mishnah began with what you're allowed to use and what you're not allowed to use for ksivas aget, as far as the ink goes. And the Mishnah said bakol koisvin, and then it gave examples: bidyoy, besam, besikra, Bekumus ubekankantum. Five specific items. So what are these things? Zakti Gemara. Dioi is diusa. So diusa is black ink. In fact, if you look at the top line of Tosfos, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the dioi shalonu hu karui dioi. The dioi that we have, and Tosfos says that's used for ksivas aget, but also for ksivas sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzas. That's what the Mishnah was referring to when it said Diyoy. So Diyoy is the black ink that the Sofer uses. Sam, what is that? Sama, paint. Sikra, Omer Rabbe Bar Bachana, Sikarta Shema, it's a red dye. Kumus, Kuma. Rashi says Kuma is Srafo Ilon. So it's an ink that's made from the sap of a tree. Kankantum, Omer Rabbe Bar Bachana, Omer Shmuel, Charto Do Ushbechi, which is shoe polish. So the Gemara Taich, the five items that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Now, after the Mishnah mentioned these things, it said a general rule. U'b'chol dover shehu miskayim v'chul. You're allowed to use anything that's a dover shehu miskayim. Now, it sounds like that is coming to be marba, something that wasn't already mentioned. Because if the only things that are kosher v'ksivas aget are the things that the Mishnah listed, then why are we repeating ourselves now and saying, u'b'chol dover shehu miskayim? It sounds like that's a sixth item on the list. So what's that coming to be marba? Lasuye mai. So the Gemara says, Lasuye hadatani Rab Chanina. It's coming to be marba the things that were mentioned in a braisa that was taught by Rab Chanina. Kosfu b'meitaria, the braisa said, if somebody would write a get using mei geshamim, so meitaria is mei geshamim v'atza, or if somebody would write a get using gallnuts, kosher, the halach is, it would be kosher. Tani Rab Chiya taught in another braisa, kosvay ba'avar, if somebody would write a get using lead, b'shachar, charcoal, u'b'shichur, as she says, that's charta d'ushbechi, that was mentioned in the Mishnah, kosher, that too would be kosher. Either way, we have two braises, both Rab Chiya's braises, that mentioned additional things that are kosher, fiksivas aget, and that's what the Mishnah was referring to when it listed in a more general sense that you can write a get, b'chol dover shnehu shel kayama. Either way, this concludes the first portion of today's daf, which is rather technical. The next 10 lines or so that we're about to learn are extremely lomdish. There's major sugyas happening here. Unfortunately, we're going to have to do what we do, but in the raid, we'll come back to it a little bit. But just a little bit of a heads up that the Gemara that we're about to learn is big. Itmar, hamavrid yoy, algabi sikra b'shabbos. So one of the lametes malachis is koisev. You're not allowed to write on Shabbos. You're also not allowed to be meichik. You're not allowed to erase on Shabbos. What happens if somebody would write on Shabbos, but he would write on top of words that were already written? So the sheer ksiva on Shabbos is a person's not allowed to write two oisias. So let's say a person had two oisias that were already written, and now you're going to write two oisias, but on top of the two oisias that were already written. Are you going to be chayiv or are you not going to be chayiv? That's what the Gemara is about to discuss. Hamavre diyoy agabi sikra b'shabbos. If somebody writes with diyoy on top of sikra on Shabbos, so you had two letters that were written in red ink, and now you wrote on top of it with black ink. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Lamech Ravayu, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both said chayiv shtayim. You're going to be chayiv twice, meaning you are mechalal Shabbos not once but two times. Achas mishum koisev, you are mechalal Shabbos because you wrote. Va'achas mishum moichek, you were also mechalal Shabbos because you erased. So number one, you were koisev. Number two, you were moichek. How so? You wrote with black ink on top of red ink. Writing with black ink is koisev. You're writing on top of letters, but black on top of red is noticeable, and as a result, you're a koisev. You're also a moichek because you were moichek the red letters that had been written. As a result, you're going to be chayiv twice, once for being a koisev and once for being a moichek. Now, Rashi speaks out, we know the halacha is, it's a Mishnah, Masechet Shabbos, that moichek is one of the lametes malachas. However, the only time a person's chayiv for being moichek is if he's moichek al menas lichtov. But if a person is moichek, but not with the intention to write, he wouldn't be moichek. But this moichek, says Rashi, is pashit, is a moichek al menas lichtov. The reason is because you literally were being koisev as you were being moichek. So yichayim mishum koisev because you wrote. You're writing on top of letters that were already written. Yeah, but you're writing black on top of red. So you change the color. It's very noticeable right now. And as a result, you're considered a koisev. You're also a moichek because you erased the red. And moichek has to be almanas lichtov. Perfect. You are a moichek almanas lichtov. In fact, you were being koisev at the same time that you were being moichek. Dioy agabi dioy. What if a person wrote with black ink on top of black ink? Or sikra agabi sikra. Or a person wrote with red ink on top of red ink? Potter. In that case, you're going to be potter. And the reason in that case you're going to be potter is, says Rashi, sheharehu kebetchila loikosav loimachak, because nothing changed. You wrote black on top of black, so you weren't moichik anything, you weren't koisav anything. Whatever you had before, you have now. You didn't add, thus you weren't koisav, and you didn't subtract, thus you were moichik. The same is true if it's sikra gabi sikra. That's why in those cases you're going to be potter. Sikra gabi dioy. What if somebody writes with red ink on top of black ink? Amri lo chayiv, some say chayiv, amri lo potter, others say potter. Amri lo chayiv, some say chayiv, moichiku. You were moichek. Amri la potter. Others say you're going to be potter. Mekalkelhu, because you're being mekalkel. What are the two tzadim? You had two letters that were written in black, and now you wrote on top of it in red. Amri la chayiv, because you're moichek. When you write with red on top of black, so you're in some way taking away from what you had. You had letters that were written in black, and now you're making it look a little bit murky by adding red on top of it. As a result, you're going to be considered a moichek. The others said that you're going to be potter, and the reason is because you're mekalko. Because although it's true you're being moichek, there's no question, but at the same time, you're being mekalko. And the reason you're being mekalko is because you're making the ksav that you had worse than it previously was. And because you're making it worse than it previously was, you are mekalkel. And we know that in Hilchas Shabbos, even if a person does a malacha, but if he's mekalkel at the time that he's doing the malacha, the halacha is that he is going to be potter. So what's the recap? If somebody writes with black ink on top of red ink, yichayev shtayim, you're sai koisev and you're sai moichek. You're koisev because you wrote with black ink. You're moichei because you erase what you had written with red ink. If somebody writes with black ink on top of black ink or with red ink on top of red ink, he's going to be potter. You aren't kaisiv or moichei. You didn't change anything. And if somebody writes with red ink on top of black ink, that's already a shayla. Amri lo chayiv and amri lo potter. Amri lo chayiv alts moichei, the amri lo potter. Because although you were meichek, you were mekakel. Now notice in the last case, if you wrote with red ink on top of black ink, even the Amri law that said chayev only said yichayev one. And which one? Yichayev mishum meichek, the Gemara said. But mishum kosef for sure you're not going to be chayev. And the reason you're not going to be chayev mishum kosef is because if you write with red on top of black, you're not making anything better. The only thing you're doing is making a little bit worse. So from a meichik perspective, we can hear that maybe you would be chayim mishum meichik. But from a kaisnev perspective, there was never even a hamamino that you should be chayim mishum kaisnev. Either way, black on type of red, yichayim mishum kaisnev, yichayim mishum meichik. Black on top of black, red on top of red is nothing. And red on top of black, that's a shayla. Amri la chayiv, amri la potter. The tzad you should be chayiv is mishum moichik. The tzad you should be potter is because you're a mekabel. Now, this is all as it relates to Hilchas Shabbos. Obviously, if we're discussing it, it's because it's going to have some shaykhs to Hilchas Gittin. Zok the Gemara, Baimene, Rishalkish, Rabbi Yechanan, Rishalkish, Rabbi Yechanan, Edom, Shem, Yoidom, Lachtoim. What happens if you have Edom that don't know how to sign? They simply don't know how to sign their name. Mahu, what's the halacha? Sheyichtavu lahem besikra, that we can maybe sign their name in red ink, viyachtamu, and let them sign on top of it with black ink. What's the shayla? Ksav, elyon ksav, ayin ksav. Do we say that when somebody writes with black on type of red, even if he's writing verbatim what it says underneath it, it's considered a ksav? Or maybe no, being that you're writing on top of what was already written, so the ksav elyon is not going to be a ksav. So this was the question Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechanan. And the Gemara says, Omale Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yechanan told Reish Lakish, ain't a ksav, that it's not going to be a ksav. If the Edom would write with black and type of red, it wouldn't be a ksav. What's the kasha? Omale Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yechanan, Valoili Madatonu Rabbeinu, you taught us ksav on yon ksav on Shabbos. That if somebody would write with black and type of red on Shabbos, you'd be chayiv too. You'd be chayiv sign mishum kaisim and sign mishum moichik. But if you chayiv mishum, what do you see? You see it's considered a ksav. So how could you tell me now that it's not a ksav? Didn't you yourself say that it was a ksav? And by the way, if you just look at the previous Gemara we learned, who are the ones that said black on top of red, yichayev shtayim, black on top of black, red on top of red is nothing, red on top of black, amri lachayev, amri lapot, it was Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan, you're the one who taught me that black on top of red, yichayev linyan Shabbos. So why is it that linyan gittin, if the Edom would sign black on top of red, it would not be considered a signature, a malay? So Reish Yochanan told Reish Lakish the following words, v'chi mipnesha anu medamin nasu maisa. So what does this mean? So Rashi says that what Rabbi Yochanan was telling Reish Lakish is that although I said that if somebody writes with black ink on top of red ink on Shabbos, he's going to be chayev. I didn't mean that he's going to be chayev. I didn't mean that if there was a Beis HaMikdash today and he did this b'shoigig, then he would have to now bring a carbon. What I meant was, is that maybe he's chayev. At a suffix, I could hear that he would be chayev. And me suffix he's chayev ke'ilu, but not really chayev. And being that it was only a suffix, so in Hilchas Shabbos, I'm going to go to Chumrah, I'm going to tell you, don't write with black ink on top of red ink. But at the same time, as it relates to Edom signing, I'm also going to have to go to Chumrah, and I'm going to say, you can't rely on it. So how do you touch the words? V'chi mipnei sha'anu medamin. Rashi says, sha'anu oimdim v'svurim. Medamin meloshin, I have it sad. Like, I'm thinking, I'm clearing such a havamina. Oh, but nasa maisa doesn't mean we should act upon it. I only held the chumrah, maybe, here. I'm clearing it. I'm thinking, I'm vacilling a little bit. But I never said 100% that this is the way it is. So Rabbi Yochanan said that although we said chayiv, but not chayiv b'teres vadeh, it's only chayiv b'teres safik, and therefore, you're going to have no choice, but you're going to have to go to Chumrah. And as promised, we're going to get back to this a little bit later. Either way, Zok Dimar, Itmar, Edom She'en Yoidim Lachtim, Edom that don't know how to sign. Rav Amar, Rav said, what should you do for them? There's an Eitzah, Mekarim Lehem Niyar. What you should do is you should take a piece of parchment, a piece of paper, you should tear it, Chalak, make sure it's not a clean piece of paper, Umemalin Es Hakron Diyai, meaning carve out the signature where the Edom would sign, let them take ink, they could pour it into those little cracks, and like this, their name is ultimately going to be signed. So you're helping them a little bit, but Lamaisa, they're the ones that are pouring the ink, and they're the ones that are going to be signing their name in this unconventional way. That's what Rav said. Shmuel said, this is a different Eitzah, but Avor. What we should do is we should sign their name first, sign their name using lead, which is not a real signature, and let them sign their name on top of the Aver. If you're going to do that, it's for sure not going to be a problem. Why? Because signing with Aver is not a chsima. So if they sign on top of it, there's no problem of ksav al gabi ksav. Meaning, in the previous Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were discussing where Edom don't know how to sign. Can we sign their name in red ink? And they'll sign on top of it in black ink. Good, that's already a shaila. Signing your name in red ink is a real ksav. So it's a shaila, ksav al gabi ksav. Is it a ksav? Is it not a ksav? Black on top of red. That's the sugya. But over here, to sign their name for them in avar, in lead, that's not a ksiva. And because it's not a ksiva, for them to sign on top of it, it's certainly not going to be a shayla of ksav. The Gemara says, could it be that that's what Shmuel said? But Reb Chiya taught in a braisa. We had the braisa right in the beginning of the daf. Kosvei ba'avar b'shachar u'b'shichar kosher. That if you wrote again using lead or using charcoal or using shoe polish, that loch is, it's kosher. What do you see? That writing with avar is a ksav. If it's kosher, fixivas aget, then it's a ksav. Right? The Torah says, v'kosav lo. So if you can use avar, obviously it's a ksav. If it's a ksav, then how could you write it in avar, tetel edem to sign on top of it? You're running into a ksav, agav, ksav. Promise. The Gemara says, like, kashi, you have to say there's two dinim when it comes to writing with lead. Haba avra, haba maya da avra. When Reb Chiya taught in a braisa that if you write with avar, it's considered a ksav, what he was referring to was liquid that comes from lead. When we say that Shmuel said that the Eitzah of how to facilitate a signature for Edom that don't know how to sign their name is to use lead, he didn't mean to use the liquid of lead, but he meant to use the physical lead. And there's a difference between lead itself versus the liquid of a lead. Again, technical, and that's the answer to this kasha. Rav Avo said this different Eitzah. That what should you do for Edom that don't know how to sign their names? What you should do is sign the name for them, b'mei milin. Use golnuts, mayim, that golnuts were soaked in. That's not going to be considered a ksav, and then they'll sign on top of it. There won't be a problem of ksav agavi ksav. Freit the Gemara, mei milin, vatani Reb Chanina taught in the other braisa, kasfu b'mei tarya, if a get was written using rainwater, va'atza or golnuts kosher, it's going to be kosher. So what do you see? That if you write with golnuts, it is kosher. How can you tell me the eitz is right with mei milin? They'll write on top of it. It won't be ksav agavi ksav because ksiva with golnuts is not a ksiva. You see, mefurish that kasvu ba'avtzas kasha. The Gemara says again, like kash, you have to say there's two dinim in golnuts. Had the afetz, had the loy afetz. And really, it's not so much two different types of golnuts in this case, but it's two different types of parchment. So one of the things that we use in the processing of hides and in parchments was golnuts. And sometimes it was treated with it, and sometimes it wasn't treated with it. What the Gemara is saying is that if you have a niyar, you have a paper that was treated with afta, with these golnuts, then if you're going to write with golnuts on top of it, the ksav is not going to be considered a ksav. Because it's going to be a tarta de sastri on some level, and the golnuts on top of the golnuts is not going to work. If, however, you have a paper that was loy off it, it wasn't treated, in that case it will be good. And she'ei mei milin al gabi mei milin, because if you write with golnuts on top of golnuts, it's not going to fly. The bottom line is, when we say that you can write a get using mei milin, which means there's a golnut liquid, that's good as long as the parchment itself wasn't treated with the golnuts. When we're saying that you have Edim and you're trying to figure out an Eitzah of how to facilitate their signature, use mei milin. What we mean is, if you're using a paper that was treated with golnuts, then using mei milin is not considered a ksiva. As a result, if the Edim are going to sign it on top of it, it won't be a problem of ksav agavi ksav. Rapapa said, b'roik. The Eitzah is right using roik. So what's roik? Roik is saliva. Meaning, just give them a little bit of a sketch of what they're supposed to do and let them write on top of it. And roik, for sure, there's no braisa that says that that's going to be okay. And Rapapa once told Papa Teira. So Rapapa we're all familiar with. Papa Teira was Papa who was a cattle trader. But the bottom line is, he once had such a situation. He came to him with a document and he told him he had an issue with signatures. And he told him, use Reich and that's going to be the Eitzah. Either way, so what do we do for Edom that don't know how to sign their name? We want to help them be signatures on a shtar. So there's a few different Eitzahs. Rav's Eitzah was that Mekaren Lehem Niyar, what we do is we tear the paper a little bit, we make holes in the paper that correspond to their signature, let them fill it with ink, and that's going to be the Eitzah. Shmuel said that you should use lead. Let someone write their name in lead, they'll write on top of the lead, writing with lead, as opposed to liquid that comes from a lead, it's not considered a ksiva, won't be a problem with ksav agav ksav, and that's going to be the Eitzah. Rabbi Avo said, you can use mei milin, you can use gall nuts. Now, the only time you can use gall nuts, right, that's the asterisk, is if the niyar itself has gall nuts. But as long as it does, that's going to be okay. Rav Papa had a different Eitzah. Rav Papa's Eitzah was use right. But Hatzad HaShav HaShabahem, Rav, Shmuel, Rav Avo, Rav Papa, they're all working with this Eitzah. You have an Eitzah, he poshit is illiterate. He doesn't know how to sign his name. Okay. Could he be a signature? An aid chsima? You would say no. If he can't sign his name, how's it possible? Kamash Malon, in this discussion, that's not true. We work with him and we try to make it work. But says the Gemara, you have to read the not such fine print. Vahani mili begitin. This whole Eitzah works for a get. If you're dealing with a get isha, then it works. Aval b'shtaris, when it comes to all other documents, loy, you cannot do that. In fact, Ahuda Avad Uvda b'shar shtaris, there was a mais in Shahaya Kachaya, where somebody once facilitated Aiden to sign on a document in one of the aforementioned ways, v'nagdi Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana heard about it, and Rav Kahana gave him malchus. So we know that one of the things that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to do is makin va'oinshin, even shalei al pi din. And Rav Kahana exercised his right to give somebody malchus, he must have beat him up for doing this. V'nagde Rav Kahana. The only time you're allowed to do this is when it comes to gittin, when it comes to shtar shtaris. Now, what's the difference between gittin and shtar shtaris? So Rashi says, mishum iguna. It's based on iguna. The Gemara is going to speak it out now. But because of Mishum Iguna, Kilo Be Rabbanon, you find so many coolers when it comes to this. This is one of them. Zok Digmar, Tanya Kabasi de Rav. A brisa that supports Rav's Shita. What did Rav say? Rav said that what's the Eitzah for someone that doesn't know how to sign his name if you want to get him to sign on a shtar? Mekarin Lehem, Niyor, Cholok, Umimalinas Akram, Diyoy. Digmar brings a Mefurish, a brisa that says this. Idim Shen Yoidim Lachtam, Idim don't know how to sign their names. Mekarin Lehem, Niyor, Cholok, Umimalin, Asakron, Diyoy. That's literally verbatim what Rav's idea was. It doesn't say Shmuel's Eitzah, it doesn't say Rav Avo's Eitzah, it doesn't say Rav Papa's Eitzah, it says Rav's Eitzah. And as a result, this is the Tanya Kavasi Rav. Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel continues in the Brayse and he says, Bamed Var Mamurim, when is this true? Bikite Nashim. The only time you can do this is for a get Isha, Aval B'Shechrur Avodim. But if it's a get Shechrur, Vishar Kol Ashtaris, or any other star for that matter, in Yoidim Likrois Velachtim Chaisman, if they know how to read and they know how to sign their name, it's okay, Vim Lav, and if not, in Chaisman, they can't be signatures on a star. So the Gemara interrupts and says, Kriya Mandachar Shema. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, that the Braisa says that Edom don't know how to sign, we facilitate the signatures, that's only true for Gittay Noshim. But when it comes to a Get Shechur or any other shtar, if they know how to read, then it's good. And if they know how to sign, then it's good. But otherwise, we won't read for them and we won't sign for them. So the Gemara says, we were talking about signing. We're talking about Edom that don't know how to sign. We weren't talking about Edom that don't know how to read. So who said anything about reading? Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking to the Tanna Kamma, but he's also not talking to the Tanna Kamma, because the Tanna Kamma didn't say a word about reading, or Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking about reading. Says the Gemara, the only way to make sense of the Braise is by adding words. We have to do a little edit. Chasure mechzer v'halchik tani. This is the way you have to read the Braise. Edom shein yoidim likrois. Edom that don't know how to read, kairin lefneyem. We read for them. V'ch oismen and they sign. V'shein yoidim lachtem if they don't know how to sign. V'chulu. What's the v'chulu? That's where the Braisa picked up. That Mekarim Lehem Niyor Chalok Malin Asakram Diyoy. So the Braisa really was talking about two things. It was talking about Edom that don't know how to read and Edom that don't know how to sign. The Edom that don't know how to read, we read for them. The Edom that don't know how to sign, Tanya Kavasi Derav, Mekarim Lehem Niyor Chalok Malin Asakram Diyoy. Amr Shem Gamliel. Shem Gamliel now is commenting on the two things that the Braisa said. Bemed Var Mamur, when is this true? Bikitei Noshim. Ava Shechruri Avodim V'Shar Kol Ashtoreis In Yoidim Likreis V'Lachtim Chaisman Then Lav Ein Chaisman. So Rav Shimon Gamliel's comment is that the only time this is true is V'Gitei Noshim, but as relates to all other shtaris, even Shtar Shechur, the halacha is Ein Chaisman. Amr Rav Loz is at my time with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why do Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds that you really can't do these Eitzes, you can't read for them, you can't facilitate their signature, it doesn't work by all shtaris, yet by Get Isha it does work. What's the difference between Get Isha and all other shtaris? Says the Gemara, what Rashi spoke out on Amad Aleph, Shloyiyu Benois Yisrael Agunois. It's Meshum Iguna, Kilo Be Rabbana. There's so many coolers that we find Meshum Iguna, and you can chalk this up as another one of those coolers. Amar Rava said, Halacha ki Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. That what? That it's tafka for Get Isha, you can use this, but for all other shtaris, you can't. Rav Gamda Mishmei Rav Amar, Rav Gamda said in the name of Rava that ein halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, that the halacha is really not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, according to Rav Gamda, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So who is the halacha like? So process of elimination. If it's a machloikis chachomim and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and the halacha is not like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, then k'man k'rabban. Obviously, the halacha is like the rabbanon. So we paskin then that you can facilitate for the edim sai for gerisha and sai for shtar shtaris. Feit gemara v'ahul the oved uv the b'shtar shtaris v'nagdi Rav Kahana. On Amud Aleph, we told the story where Rav Kahana once gave somebody malchus b'shtar shtaris. Now b'shloim, if the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, then we understand why Rav Kahana would have given him malchus. Because if we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel clearly said that the only time this is true is when it comes to gerisha. It's not true by shtar shtaris. But if you're going to tell me ain halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, so the halach is that you could facilitate it even by shtar shtar. So why did Rav Kahana give malchus? So the Gemara says, tirgama kriya. You have to say that when Rav Gamda said that the halach is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, he meant not everything Rav Shimon Gamliel said, but one of the two things Rav Shimon Gamliel said. Rav Shimon Gamliel was talking sai about reading for the Eidim and sai about signing for the Eidim. As it relates to signing or facilitating the signature of the Eidim, halach like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The only time it's true is by Gedisha. And that's why when there was a Ma'at Shoya Kachay, where somebody did a shtar shtar, is not Rav Kahana. When we said Ein Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's true as it relates to Koyron Lefneim. We're going to read for the Eidim, even the Shtar Shtaris. Although Rav Shimon Gamliel said that this Halach is only going to be true for Ged Isha, we don't pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. We paskin that this is going to be true even for, it's going to be true even for Shtar Shtaris. Zok the Gemara on this note, Rav Yehuda Mitztair Kari V'chasim. Rav Yehuda, so Rashi says that if he ever wanted to be an aid or a dayan, and he had a sign, so Soif Yomov, it was very difficult for him to see. Zokin Hoya, the Ein of Kehois. So he would go through great pains, literally, mitzta'er, so that he'd be able to read by himself and sign. Amalei Ula, so Ula once told Rav Yehuda, Leitzriches, you don't have to. The Rabbi Loza, Marad Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Loza, who's the Marad Eretz Yisrael, what does that mean? Rashi, Boki Mikol Chaveirov. He's a bigger Boki than all his friends. And Karu Kamei V'chasem, they used to read for him, and he would sign. It's like, why are you going through such great pains to try to see by yourself? You don't have to. This is what Ula told Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman also, Karu Kamei Safri Dayne V'chasem. Rav Nachman had the same minik, that he would have his people, the Chaveirim of his Bezdin, they would read for him, and he would sign. But the Gemara says, V'dafka Rav Nachman V'safri Dayne. Meaning, this works. You see that Rabbi Loza did it, Rav Nachman did it. But as it relates to Rav Nachman, anyway, the Gemara's comment is that it only is true for Rav Nachman and with his Dayanim. Why? De Isil Emesa. Because they feared him. Av Rav Nachman, the Safri Achrina. But if it would have been Rav Nachman and other Dayanim, or Safri Daina, the Inish Achrina, or it would have been Rav Nachman's Seifrim, but not Rav Nachman, law, in that case, it wouldn't work. So the Gemara says the only time it works is if you have this chemistry that's the equivalent to Rav Nachman and his Bezdin. Rav Nachman was a man of very, very high respect. Rashi says he was a Dayan Mumcha, he was Chasna de Beinasiya, he was an Edom by the Nasi, and everybody feared him. And because everybody feared him, nobody was going to lie to him. So you have someone on the caliber of Rav Nachman and his people who are trustworthy, who understand exactly who Rav Nachman is. So when it's that kind of relationship, you could be Seimach on it. But if it would have been Rav Nachman and other Seifrim, or Rav Nachman Seifrim and someone other than Rav Nachman, in that instance, this is really not something that you would be able to rely on. But the bottom line is, there is a concept for sure of someone that doesn't know how to read a document, you can read it for him, and then he's going to be able to sign. Or someone that doesn't know how to sign his name, where the halach is, we can somehow facilitate his signature. And if this time, we're going to get back to this a little bit in the raid as well. If he ever had a shtar that crossed his desk, that was a Persian shtar, that was approved by the Arkais of the Nachrim, by the Persian courts. What he would do is he would call in two Nachrim, people that were able to read Persian, he couldn't, and he would call them in individually, and he wouldn't even tell them like why he was calling them in, so he would work it out in some Masiach Levitume, and as long as everything worked out, and he was okay with what he heard, he would use the shtar even for the people to be able to be toyrev from nechasim mishubad. So a few things, just to understand what we just said. Number one, you see that a shtar that's written in Persian is a kosher shtar. Yeah, for sure you see. Seems obvious. The Gemara is actually going to address this point in a few moments. Another thing you see is that a shtar that has non-Jewish signatures that went through the Erkoyishol Nachrim is a kosher shtar as well. Now, that's a chiddush, but it's not a chiddush to us because we just learned this sugya on Daf Yud Amid Beis, where, again, it's a big sugya, and if you never learned Gittin Daf Yud, it may come as news to you, but we just learned Gittin Daf Yud. So the halacha is that shtarei mamon, anyways, that go through the court system because of a svara of Leimari Nafshayu and because of a svara of Dina de Machusadina, as we learned then, the halacha is these shtaris are going to be kashmir shtaris. Not just that, you see that you can use the shtar even to be goiva from the Nechasim Mishubadim. Not only from the Nechasim B'nei Chari, but even from the Nechasim Mishubadim. Now, this is really the biggest chiddush that you see from this Gemara. And the reason is because there was a Mefurish Gemara and Daf Yod Aleph Amid Aleph, where the Gemara told the story, Haishtara Parsa. So it was 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Yod Aleph Amid Aleph. There was a Persian shtar, literally like our shtar, the Masri Nahaleh Ba'apisad Yisrael, that was given over in the presence of Yiddisha, Jewish Eden. So the Eden Mesira of this shtar were Jews. And what's the halacha? Rava said, Magbina Beim Ibnei Chari. You can be goyva, but only from the chasim in echayrim, not from the chasim in shubadim. So Rashi speaks out that at first glance, this Gemara seems to contradict that Gemara. Because this Gemara is mashma, that Rapapa Paskin, that shtara parso, that loch is, you could be goyva from the chasim in shubadim. And Rav himself said on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, that a shtar parso, you can only be goyva from the bnei chari. So what's the teretz? So Rashi says that you have to say that the teretz is pashit. The teretz is that this shtar that we have right here in Daf Yotes Amid Beis went through the Erkois. It's mefurish that it was Ovid Berkois Shal Nachrim. The shtar on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph did not go through the Erkois, but rather the ones that approved the shtar were Hedyotis. So without going back into that sugya, but there was a chiluk between Erkois and Hedyotis. So Zok Rashi, that shtar had been approved by Hedyotis. The only reason the shtar was even kosher is because the Ede Mesira were Yidden. Hay shtar parsa de masri nahali ba'ape sahade yisro. So being that we're only being machshir the shtar based on the Ede Mesira and not based on the shtar itself so much. Why? Because it was prepared by Hityotis. So although we'll rely on the shtar, we'll only rely on the shtar for Bnei Chayri, but not for Nechasim Meshubadim. Over here that it went through the Arkoi system, it's different. And because it went through the Arkoi system, over here we're going to be able to rely on it, even to be goyver from the Nechasim Meshubadim. And what's the difference? The difference is, when it goes through the Arkoi, we assume it has a coil. So the reason that sometimes you could be goyver from Nechasim Meshubadim and sometimes you can't, what it really boils down to is, do we assume that this transaction had a coil or did it not have a coil? If we assume it had a coil, then the Meshubadim should have been aware of this transaction, and as a result, they knew that at any point somebody might come and be Torah from them. As a result, we allow you to be Torah from them. But a transaction that doesn't have a coil, that's when we say you can't go after the Mechasim Meshubadim. That's why a Milva Al Pet, you can't be Goyver from the Mechasim Meshubadim. A Milva Bishtar, you could. Because a Milva Al Pet doesn't have a coil. A Milva Bishtar, the Shtar itself gives it a coil, and that's why you can be Goyver from the Mechasim Meshubadim. So a Shtar, even if it's a Shtar Parsoi, it's written in Persian, and the Chaismin are, or if they kechavim, they're Persian. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if it goes through Erkois, it has a coil. If it has a coil, based on the sugya, Dina de Malchus, Leimar, Nafshai, and there's a coil, you can be goyver from the Nechasim Meshubadim. The reason in Rava's case, in Daf Yad Aleph Amid Aleph, you can only be goyver from the Bnei Chari, it's because over there, the shtar itself wasn't really such a good shtar, because it was prepared by Hedyotis. What made it kosher? It was the Edom Assyria that made it kosher. But being that the shtar itself was prepared by Hedyotis, it doesn't have the coil. And if it doesn't have a coil, that's what Rashi says in this two short lines. Over there, the halacha is you can be goyver from Bnei Chari, because a legitimate shtar it is, but it doesn't have a coil, and therefore you can't be goyver from the Mechasim Meshubadim. A similar halacha. Amar Rav Ashi. Amar Rav Huna Bar Nosson. Hachi Amar Ameimar. So this halacha traces itself all the way to Ameimar. Hay shtar parsa. If you have a Persian shtar, the chsim yoleh sahadi Yisrael, and the signatures on the shtar are Yidin, Magbina, Beimim, Meshabdi. The halacha is you can be goyver this shtar even from Mechasim Meshubadim. So in this case, you have a Persian shtar with the signatures are Yidden. Oh, the signatures are Yidden, so it's Pasha. Like Bina Baby Mishabdi, that's not a Chiddush. That's a regular shtar as far as the Idi Chasima goes. The only Chiddush is that it was written in Persian. But that in and of itself is not a reason that it shouldn't have a koil, and therefore the halach is, you can be goyver with it, you can even be goyver from the nechasim b'shabadim. But the Gemara asks some technical questions. V'yadu l'mikri, how did the Eidim know how to sign such a shtar? They know how to read parsoi? The Gemara says, yeah, but yadi, kasha famaisa, they knew how. Faith, the Gemara v'abin iksav she'eni yochel is dayet v'leko. One of the halachas of a shtar is you have to make sure that it's written in a way that you're not going to be able to be mezayef the shtar, which is why they used to process it with gall nuts, because they wanted to make the parchment in a way that you wouldn't later be able to forge it. So the Gemara says, "Bedafitza kashaf amais." Again, it's talking about where they used a kosher piece of paper. Faith, the Gemara v'abin and tzarich lachzim in yoni shel shtar b'shita achrenu b'leko. There's another halacha when it comes to shtaris that the last line of the shtar has to be like a chazaras hashir. You have to chazar over everything that was mentioned in the toichen of the shtar. L'chura, you don't have it. So the Gemara says, "You do have it." B'demahader, it's talking about where they did that. Faith, the Gemara v'elam aikra mashmalon. So then, what's the chiddush? Meaning, why are we even talking about this case? Rav Ashi told me. I heard from Rav Huna Bar Nosson. He told me that Amemar said that if you have a Persian shtar, I mean, the shtar was just written in Parsoi. That's the language that it was written in. And you didn't sign on it. It's a regular shtar. You could be Tayrif even from the Chasim Mishubadim. What's the Chiddush over here? You're telling me that it meets every single halachic criteria. So what's the chiddush? So you'll tell me, maybe the chiddush is, that you can write it in any language. Tanina, I know that already. Get, it's a mishnah in the end of the Masechta. That if somebody wrote a get isha in Ivris, the eid of Yavanis, but the eid is signed in Greek. Yavanis, you wrote the shtar in Yavanis, the eid of Ivris, kosher. So you see that when it comes to shtaris, we don't discriminate between languages. Again, what's the chiddush of this halacha? So the Gemara says, no, the chiddush is that it was written in Persian. Now why is that a chiddush? Don't I know from the Mishnah later? So the Gemara, I only had the Mishnah later. Have I mean? I would have thought Hanibil Begitin. The only time it works is by a Gerisha. Aval b'shar shtaris. But maybe when it comes to all other shtaris, it's not going to work. Why would you think Gitin is different than all shtaris? Akrashi Mishum Aguna Akilu Beirabanan Kamash Malon. That was the chiddush over here. That even if it's another shtar and you wrote a b'shar l'shoynis, still it's going to be good. So this little Gemara that we just learned, it's really a shtickle, an addendum. It's a postscript to the sugya on Daf Yud Amid Beis and on Daf Yud Aleph, where the Gemara talked about shtaris that were prepared with non-Jewish participation, which was, again, a very, very big chiddush. And really what emerged is that there are a whole bunch of different nuances, specifically in our sugya as it relates to whether you'll be able to use the shtar to be toirif from the nechasim mishubadim. How does it play itself out? Really, we had three scenarios, two that were mentioned in the Gemara, and the third one Rashi contributed. As it relates to what Rashi mentioned first, and that was a Mefurash Gemara Le'il and Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, if you have a Persian shtar, where the Edom on the shtar were Parsiim, meaning any Yehudim, it was prepared by Hedyotos, but you have Edei Mesira that are Yidin, the halacha is, the shtar is going to be okay, even though it was not put through the Erkoi system. So you don't have all the umdenis of Le'mari Navshayu, but you have Eidim Mesira that are Yidin, so it's a kosher shtar, but only to be goyver from the Bnei Chari, not to be goyver from the Nechasim Eshubadim. In the event that you have a shtar parsa, where you have Yidin that signed on it, so there the halach is, for sure, you'd be able to be toyer from the Nechasim Eshubadim, and in the event that you have a shtar parsa, where the signatures are also Parsiim, but it went through the Arkais, not prepared by Hedyotis with Eidim Mesira Yisrael. There's no Eidim Mesira Yisrael. It's 100% Ashtar Parsa. But it went through the Arkais. That's better than it going through Hedyotis. We have Eidim Mesira Yisrael. In this case, the halach is, you'll be able to be goyva even for the Mechasim Meshubadim. What's the reason? When it goes through Arkais, it has a koil. But when it was prepared by Hedyotis, in that instance, it's not going to have a koil. Either way, we'll stop here and just speak out four short haris. So going back to the Mishnah mentioned Bakoil Koismin, and then the Mishnah turned its attention to Al Hakoil Koismin. You can write a get on anything. And the Mishnah said examples of what that everything means. Al Ha'ola Shel Zayis, on the leaf of an olive tree. Val HaKeren Shel Para, and you can write a get on the horn of a para. So it seems like an interesting way for a person to be Mekayin the Vekas of La Sefer Krisus. Stating that, the Mishnah says that if somebody would write on the Keren Shel Para, the halacha is it would be kosher, with the caveat for Noisen La Sapar. You can't, after you write the get, take off the Keren and hand the Keren over to your wife, but rather you would have to hand over the entire Para. What came to mind learning this Mishnah was a Medrash that's very, very well known. And that is a Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, where the Medrash Rabbah talks about the four Goliaths that Klal Yisrael had to go through as a nation. It says, V'aretz hoysa soyu v'vayu v'choshech al p'nei sahayim. And the Medrash says that V'aretz hoysa soyu, that's referring to the Malchus of Bavel. That was the first nation that took the Yidden into Golos from the time that they became a nation. V'vayu is referring to Malchus Madai. V'choshech is referring to Malchus Yavon. Al p'nei sahayim is the Malchus HaRisha. It's referring to the Roman Empire that destroyed the second base on Ikrish. But the Medrash says, V'choshech zem Malchus Yavon, shehechshicha einayim shel Yisrael b'gzeiroi seyim. Why were they called choshech? Because they were machshech. They made tinkle the eyes of the Yidden with their terrible gzeiros. Shoysoi meres lahem. Because Yavon would tell the Yidden, kisfu al keren ashar. I want you to write on the horn of Ashar, she'em lochem chelik b'elikei Yisrael. So it seems that this was a zach, that people would write on the Karen of Ashar. It's a well-known chazal, Kiswal Karen Ashar, and in the Chanukah Torah, there's a famous Bnei Yisachar on this. What's the significance of Kisfu al Karen Ashar? But you have it here in a Mishnah, in a halachic Mishnah. So it seemed that this was maybe somewhat of a shchichtig way of communicating. It seems bizarre to us, but it seems that there's a makar to it that once upon a time you had to be there. This actually made some sense. It's in a medrash, it's in a Mishnah, and that's probably why the Mishnah is even mentioning it. But I saw a ha'orah nifla in the Haggais from the Cheshek Shloima, Reb Shloima HaKoyim Mivilna, right here on the Mishnah. He's bothered with why did the Mishnah pick this, again, interesting example of a Keren Shel Parah to make its point of Al HaKol Kosven. Says the Cheshek Shloima that nearly the Kamash Malon, the Tana of the Mishnah, is coming to tell me a Chiddush. And that is, there's a Mishnah Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chav Vav Amar Aleph. The Mishnah says, Kol HaShoifra is Ksheira. You're allowed to use any horn for Tkiya Shoifra, Chutz Mishal Parah. With the exception of a parah, and the reason is mepnei shehu keren, because the shofar of a parah is not called in Tanakh a shofar, it's called a keren, and because it's called a keren, and you have to blow not a keren, a shofar, therefore it's going to be possible. Either way, there's a whole ensuing discussion here in the Gemara with regards to using a shofar shel parah. And the Gemara says as follows, Abaya said, Hainu tamayu de Rabbanon. The reason the Rabbanon said that kol ha-shoifes ksheirim chutz mishal parah, it's not for the reason that the Mishnah gave. It's a different reason. And that is because shoifer echad am rachmona. Because it says in the Torah that you have to blow a shoifer in the singular. So the shoifer that you're going to blow has to be one shoifer for loishnai mishloicha shoifers. If, however, you're going to take a shoifer that's really made up of two or three shoifers, in that instance, it's not going to be okay. Okay, hi, the parah. As it relates to the shofar that comes from a parah, kiven dekoi gildi gildi, being that it's made up of different shlavim, it's made up of different parts, mischazi kishnai mushloisha shofaris, it looks like it's two or three shofaris, and because it's two or three shofaris, therefore it's going to be possible. In other words, there is just a physical difference between the horn of a parah and the horn of other animals. The horn of a parah, if you look at the horn, it looks like not one shofar, actually looks like three. It looks like you took three shofar is two or three, that's Lashon of Abaya, and you merge them together. And even though it's really one horn, but it looks a little like it's Achas Shihishtayim or Shihishloisha, it's Mischazi Kishtayim Mishloisha shofar is, and shofar Echadam Rachmana, it's for that reason it's not going to be okay. So the Cheshek Shloimeh said a Dover Nifla. He said that the Gemara says, and we're going to learn this in tomorrow's Daf, Daf Chof Amid Beis, that the halacha is, it says that you have to write get on a sefer. Says the Gemara, Sefer Echad Amar Rachmana, V'lo Yishnayim U'Shloisha Sefer, Tzvarim. But you can't write a get on two or three Tzvarim. It has to be one Sefer, but it can't be two or three Tzvarim. So says the Cheshek Shloima, Yei Shloima, that's why the Tana of the Mishnah spoke out that you can write a get on the Karen of a Parah. Because I would have thought maybe you can't. Why not? Because just like you can use a Fitkiya Shofar. And why can't you use a Fitkiya Shofar? Because it's Mischazi Kishnai Mishloisha Shofaris. So I would have thought you can't use a Fitkiya Shofar either. Because it's Mischazi Kishnai Mishloisha Shofaris. Because just like Chazal Darshan Shofar Echad Amar Rachmana V'loi Shnai Mishloisha Shofaris in Rosh Hashanah Chavav, so to Chazal Darshan Sefer Echad V'loi Shnai Mishloisha Shofaris in Gittin Daf Chav. So I would have thought it's possible. That's why the time of the Mishnah, Lahoitzi Miliban, don't stell zu. Rosh Hashanah Chavav, said Rav Shlomo HaKohen Mevilna. That's what Tana Mishnah said. Bakol Koisvin, you can even write it on the shofar of a par. Of a zokra, the Cheshek Shlomo. If that's the case, what's Takubshah? What's the Kamash Malan? Why is it that it's possible for Tkiyah Shofar? Why? Because Shofar Echad Amar Rachmad of Leitch Naim is Shlosh Shofaris, but it's going to be kosher for Ksivas Haget. Sefer Echad Amar Rachmad of Leitch Naim is Shlosh Shofarim. Says the Cheshek Shlomo, the Teretz is Pashat. The Teretz is when a Shofar starts to grow, the horn of a para, Shlav number one. At that point, it's already a Shofar. What is it? It's a horn. It's a Keren, it's a Shofar. That's what it is. Now, it's going to continue to grow a second Shlav. It's going to grow a third Shlav. But when the first Shlav had already grown, at that point, it was already a Shofar. Therefore, when the second Shlav grows, it looks a little bit, it's Meschazi, you can touch it up a little bit, as if this Shofar now just grew another Shofar, and then another Shofar. As it relates to Sefer, this Keren of the Para, is it a Sefer as soon as it grows a little bit of a horn? Or is it even a Sefer when it grows more of a horn or more of a horn? It's not a Sefer until you decide that I want this to be a Sefer. It's not inherently a Sefer. It's inherently a Shofar, but it's not inherently a Sefer. The Shem Sefer it's going to get when you decide that I want to use it as a Sefer. So said the Cheshek Shlomo, Svara Nifla. He said, being that it's first going to become a Sefer when you decide that you want to use it as a Sefer, at that point, it's not going to be a problem anymore of Shnayim V'Shloisha Svarim. Shnayim V'Shloisha Svarim is a problem when I have a Sefer and I'm mechaber it with another Sefer and I'm mechaber it with a third Sefer. In that instance, you have a problem of Shnayim Shloisha Svarim. If, however, it first is going to become a Sefer when I take these three components and I merge them together, so it was never Shnayim Shloisha Svarim. It's one Sefer that came about through three components. But at the same time, the only time there's a problem of Shnayim Shloisha Svarim is when it was a Sefer before I actually merged it. But if it first became a Sefer after I merged it, in that instance, it's not going to be a problem. By the Shofar, this minute it starts growing a horn, it's already a Shofar. So the Shem Shofar you have with the first Shlav. Now the second Shlav is Oich Hashem Shofar. And the third Shlav is Oich Hashem Shofar. So it comes out now, I have three Shofars that I merge together. That's Shnayim Shloisha Svarim. That's the Svar of the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chavah. As it relates to a Sefer, right? Shofar and Sefer. It's a little confusing. But as it relates to a Sefer doesn't have a Shem Sefer until I decide that I want to use it to write it. So the minute you take the Keren Shalpar and you decide you want to write again on it, that's when it's becoming a Sefer. At that point, it's one Chefza. So there's no Shnayim Shloisha Svarim. The Shnayim Shloisha is where it was already a Sefer. It was already a Shofar before I decided to use it. So I took a little bit and a little bit, I merged it all together. In that instance, it's going to be a problem. But if it first became a Sefer after it was already complete, then I look at it as one Shem Sefer. So Rav Shlomo HaKohen Mevilna said that I had this Einfal and I thought that that's why the Tana of the Mishnah mentioned Keren Shalpara, and that's the punchline. That's the Kamash Malan. Why it's a problem of Shnayim Shloisha Shofaris, but not Shnayim Shloisha Svarim. And he says, Shuvro Isi, I found later in a tshuva from the Beis Ephraim, for Ephraim Zalman Margolis, who he said, I want to say a chiddush, that even though it's mavur in the Gemara, that there's a halach of Sefer Echad Amar Rachmana, but you can use two or three Svarim. That's the pshat, that if you're going to write a little bit of a get on one Sefer, and then a little bit of a get on another Sefer, and a little bit of a get on another Sefer, and you're going to merge them all together, in that instance, it's going to be a problem. If, however, you take three pieces of paper, and you combine them, and then afterwards you write it, in that instance, it's not going to be a problem. And said the Beis Ephraim, what's the makar for me to say this? The makar is that you see the Keren Shalpara works for Ksivas Haget, although it doesn't work for Tkiyah Shofar. So the Cheshek Shlomo said that I found already Ke'ein the Svara that I'm saying in the Beis Ephraim, the Samachti that I was Mechavin L'dvarav. But the bottom line is a beautiful Tzushtel, that why did the Tana of the Mishnah mention Keren Shalpara? It's because I would have thought that maybe the Karen Shalpar is a problem. Maybe there's an issue of Shnai Meshloish Sfarim. What's the Makar to there being an issue of Shnai Meshloish Sfarim? It's a Gemara Lekamon, Daf Chaf Amadeis. Why would you think a Karen Shalpar is Shnai Meshloish Sfarim? It's a Mefurish Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Chavav Amad Aleph regarding Shofar, that you can't use a Karen Shalpar for Tekiyah Shofar. Now, Abaye said, because of the Gildi, it's Meschazi Kishnai Meshloish Shofar is. So I would have thought, just like it's a problem by Shofar, so too it should be a problem for Ksivas Aget. Kamashwan, it's Kosh of Ksivas Aget. What's the Chilik? As it relates to the chilek, he's said already a little bit of a lumdus. That's the first aura. Second aura, we're going to skip the third, by the way. But the second aura is that we learned the sugya of hamaver diyoy al gabi sikra b'shabbos. So what was the upshot of the sugya? One of the lamates malachis is koisev. Another one of the lamates malachis is moichik. If somebody writes two oisias on Shabbos, he's chay mishum koisev. If someone's moichik two oisias on Shabbos, he's chay mishum moichik. What happens if somebody writes on top of other oisias? So Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they laid down the law of the land. They said as follows: if you wrote with black ink on top of red ink, so then the halach is you'll be chayv twice. Saifa koisev, saifa moichik. You're koisev because you changed it from red to black, and you're moichik because you changed it from red to black. If somebody writes black on top of black, red on top of red, nothing changed. It looks exactly the way it looked, even though you wrote in theory, and even though you were moichik in theory, but you're not going to be chayiv, not for koisev, and not for moichik. If somebody writes in red on top of black, so that was already a shayla. Amri lo chayiv, amri lo potter. If you're chayiv, it's not for koisev, it's for moichik. If you're potter, it's because although you were moichik a little bit, right, you were metashtesh, what you had, but you're also mekalkal, and because you're mekalkal the Shabbos is going to be potter. Then Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan a question. What about le'inyan gittin? Is this a tushnel for Gittin? What would be if you had Edom that don't know how to sign? And I know that Amiroim, they debated, what should you do? Rav had his shita, Shmuel, Rabavo, Rapapa. Could you write in red ink? And on top of it, don't sign in black. Hamavrit Yoy, Agabi Sikr B'Shabbos, is Chai Mishum Kaisiv. So Luchura, it's considered a ksiva. Would it be okay? So Yoichanan said, what? It's ksav Agabi ksav. No way. So Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yoichanan, I understand. You taught us that black on top of red is considered a ksav on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, v'chi mipnei she'anu medamin nasa maisa. Now Rashi explains, what does it mean, v'chi mipnei she'anu medamin nasa maisa? What Rabbi Yochanan was telling Reish Lakish was that even though I said chayiv, I didn't mean chayiv. Took me a little too literally. I didn't mean that you would actually bring a carbon chatos if you did a b'shoigik b'zman shemes amik t'shoyikai. What I meant was, maybe. Anu medamin. I have a tzad. Maybe it's a problem. Oh, but nasa maisa? No way. Meaning it's a suffix. I mean that it's a suffix. You have to go to Chumrin and Chashavis. But at the same time, being that it's a suffix, you also would go to Kula. And therefore you would say, or Lachumra, that in Gittin, there's no way you're going to allow the Eden to sign. The Rambam, when he brings this halacha of Amavrid Yoyal Gabi Sikra B'Shabbos Chayiv, the Rambam says clearly that your Chayiv, Chatas. You chayiv chatas for being koisev, you chayiv chatas for being moichik. And the Chassam Sofer, in Chedushi Chassam Sofer al Hashas, right here in Gittin Daf Yotes Amud Aleph, says, if that's the case, then l'chura, we have a little bit of a problem. Why? Because l'chura, the Rambam seemed to have learned then, hamavrid yoy al gabi sikr b'shabbos chayiv, literally. If he learned it literally, then how do you understand what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he told Reish Lakish that v'chi mipnei she'anu medamin nasa maisa? Rashi understood that what he was telling him was that don't ask me a kasha from Shabbos to Gittin, because by Shabbos I never meant affirmatively that it's a ksav. I just meant maybe. I was medama. I had a tzad that maybe that's the way it is. But I never said nasa maisa. I never said you would bring a karma chatos. And therefore, as it relates to Gerishin, it's not going to be good. But the Rambam didn't learn that way. Because the Rambam paskin Rabbi Yochanan's halacha the way we have it in the Gemara. And that is yechayiv literally. You're going to be chayiv chatos. So if the Rambam says yechayiv chatos, and Rabbi Yochanan said mefurish that le'inyan gittin, it doesn't work. So what did he mean when he said v'chim v'pnei she'anu medama nasa maisa? He must have meant something. So the question is, what did he mean? So says the Chassam Sofer, a yesoid. This is an important yesoid for when you learn Hilcha Shabbos. This is a Shabbos sugya tucked away here in Masechtas Gittin, and it's really an important yesoid. And that is, says the Chassam Sofer, that although Koisev is one of the Lamites Malachas, but at the same time, the Malacha of Koisev does not have to conform 100% with all the Halachas in Shulchan Aruch of what the definition of Ksiva is. In other words, there's a nafkamina between the definition of writing as it relates to the melacha of Kosev versus the definition of writing as it relates to when the Torah uses the word Kosev, such as Ksivas Aget, the Kosav lo Sefer Krisos, the Nosn Beyado. It's not the same thing. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan was telling Rish Lakish. As it relates to Ksivas Aget, it has to be a Vekosav. What's a Vekosav? Good. Look in the Shulchan Aruch, learn Masech Tzkin, it's a good place to start. And then you figure out what the definition of Vekosav is. As it relates to what the definition of Kosev is in the Melech HaShabbos, it's what was Kosev in the Mishkan. All the Lama Tes Melechas are Dumya the Melechas HaMishkan. And whatever Kosev was there, that's what Kosev is going to be here. So when we say Kosev in Shabbos, it's true that the Melech is Ksiva, but don't make the mistake and think that I can shtel zu ganz hilchas ksiva as it relates to ksiva saget, v'chule, v'chule, to now understanding the gedorim of what the malach of kosev is going to be. Loi roi ze k'roi ze. Hatzad ha-shov ha-shevehen is they're both osner or they're both dinim that involve ksiva, but they're fundamentally different. In one, what we're trying to accomplish is the Torah's definition of ksiva, and in the other, what we're trying to accomplish is what Ksiva was in the Melech HaMishkan. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's what Rabbi Yochanan was teaching Reish Lakish. He told him, V'chim v'pnesha anu medame nasa maisa, you're making a tzushtel between the definition of Kosev Linyan Shabbos and the definition of the Kosev Linyan Ksiva Saget as it relates to Shabbos, what went on in the Mishkan. To be maver diyoy al gabi sikra made sense that that's something they would have done in the Mishkan. If they would have written something and now they wanted to write on top of it, so the Chassam Sofer says, it's mistaber they would have written diyoy al gabi sikra. Anybody would do it. Why would they have not done it? It's a very reasonable thing to do. So in terms of the Kosev of the Mishkan, right, where were they writing in the Mishkan? They were writing on the Krushim. So if they had to write something, they had to write a letter, whatever it was. So to write on top of something that will clearly be legible to do a Diyoy al-Gabi Sikra makes sense. And because it makes sense, so this is something that they might have done. And being that that's something that they might have done, so the Inyan Shabbos is considered the Kosev that was done in the Mishkan. And therefore, Mavud Yoyah Gabi Sirka B'Shabbos is Chayev. And the way the Rambam learns, you're literally Chayev. But told Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, don't shtel that to Gittin. Gittin, you need a Vekosav. And when the Torah says Vekosav, it means not Ksav al Gabi Ksav. And even if the Ksav al Gabi Ksav is Yoyah Gabi Sirka, does his Leichet Nish Vekosav. And that's what he meant to say, V'chim V'pnei Sh'anu Medam V'nasa Maisa. So the way Rashi learns the Gemara, there's no chilik between Ksiva as it relates to Ksiva in the Mishkan, and Ksiva as it relates to when the Torah uses the Lashon of Ksiva. What then did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he said, V'chim v'pnei sh'anu medam v'nasa maisa? So all he was telling him was, is that I really was mesupik. And even though it's true, granted, you're 100% right, that I said that Hamavir Yoel Gabi Sikra B'Shabbos is Chayiv, but I didn't mean Chayiv. V'chim v'pnei sh'anu medam v'nasa maisa, I meant maybe Yechayiv. I didn't really mean Yechayiv. And as a result, it's not necessarily true. If it's not necessarily true, then you can't use it and rely on it. L'in Yiksiva Saget. The way the Rambam's learning the Gemara is that Rabbi Yochanan was telling Reish Lakish a tremendous yesoid that's not only negated the sugya of ksav al gabi ksav, of diyal gabi sikra, but das is negated ganz lametes malachis. This belongs in a hakdamish to the sugya of lametes malachis. Achsam soifer tucked away and getting your test. And that is, Rabbi Yochanan was saying that don't necessarily conflate what the taich of kosev is as it relates to Melech HaShabbos versus what the taich of kosev is as it relates to Ksivas Aget. In one, we're trying to conform with what took place in the Melech HaMishkan, and the other, we're trying to conform with what the Torah meant when it said the word kosev. That's the second ara. We said we're going to skip the third ara, and we're going to move to the fourth ara, which is, so the Gemara talked about what happens when you have Eidim that don't know how to sign their name. Are we going to work with them or not? Now, what does work with them mean? So there were different opinions amongst Tamayron. Rav said, Mekaren lehem niyar chalok, umemalen as akaren diyoy. Shmuel said, we write it in Avar, and they can sign on top of it. Rav Avos said, we write it in Meimilin, with the caveat, it has to be a parchment that's already off it. Rav Papa said, we would write it with Roik. Bottom line is that there's a way to work with these Eidim. Is this something that we're willing to do, or is it something that we're not willing to do? And the Gemara, the Braisa, where it seemed that it was a machloikis between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chacham. The Chachamim say, the answer is yes. We'll work with Edom. Now we work with Edom. We'll work with Edom when it comes to all shtar. It doesn't matter what kind of shtar it is. We're always willing to work with Edom. Rav Shimon Gamliel was chaylik. He said, Bamed var mamurim, the only time it's true is begite noshim. Aval b'shechruri avodim, v'shar kol ha-shtaris. When it comes to get shechrur, or when it comes to all other shtaris for that matter, if they know how to read, or if they know how to sign, guvaldik. But if they don't know how to sign, it's not something that we're going to do. And we saw the Gemara said, halacha ki Rav Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel as it relates to the signing part of the Braisa, that Edom that don't know how to sign will facilitate their signatures, but only when? Only when it comes to Gitei Nashim. But when it comes to Shtar Shtaris, even Get Shichr, the Allah is, we're not going to work with them. In fact, it was a Maisa Shaya Kachoya, Ahuda Ovat Uvda B'Shtar Shtaris, V'not De Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana gave him Malkus. Now, if this Gemara sounded familiar, this discussion, it's because we had it already in the first parak of Masechtas Gittin. It was mentioned on Daf Tes Amud Beis. Now, how did it come into Daf Tes Amud Beis? The Gemara over there brought a braisa that mentioned a machlokes Rameir and the Chachamim that discuss similarities between get isha and get shechur. The braisa said b'shloisha drachim shavu gitei nashim l'shechruri avadim. Rameir said four. So the Tanakam of the braisa says there's three similarities between get isha and get shechur, and Rameir said there was a fourth. What were the three similarities that the Tanakam mentioned? Shavu is a din of b'fanai nechtu b'fanai nechtam. Maybe get Mimdina Sayam, whether it's a Get Isha or even if it's a Get Shecher. You have the halacha that if an Eid Kuti in the singular would sign on a Shtar, it would be possible, but for Get Isha and Get Shecher over there, it would be Kosher. And then you have the halacha that all Shtaris that went through the Erkoi system are Kosher, with the exception of Get Isha and Get Shecher. So three similarities between Get Isha and Get Shecher. Rameir had a fourth. What was his fourth? If somebody tells a Shliach, Tein Getzel Ishti, or he tells a Shliach, Tein Shtar Shecher Zel Avdi, and he wants to be Chayzer, it could be Chayzer, and this is Rav Meir Shita that holds that Shichrur is not a Schos, it's a Chayv, Ein Chavim La'adam, Ela B'fan. Then the Gemara said like this, the Braisa mentioned a number, B'shloisha D'rachim Shavu Gitei Nashim L'Shachuri Avadim, U'kidivir Rav Meir Barba, and the question was, Minyana L'Me'utei Mai. So the Gemara said, B'shloimi the Minyana of the Chachamim in the Braisa, of the Tanakama, it's three and not four, which fourth are we coming to exclude? Rameir's fourth. Rameir mentioned the fourth in the Braisa. So we're saying three and not four, but Rameir's fourth, it sounds like it's coming to exclude a fifth. What is that fifth? So the Gemara says, you want to know what the fifth is? It's Rav Shimon Gamliel's halacha. That's the fifth. You see that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that we're willing to work with Edom, but only for Gitei Noshim, not for Shechruri Avodim and Shar Kol Ashtaris. So you see a distinction then between a Get Isha and a Get Shechur, and that's the Minyan of Rav Meir that's coming to Mute. What's it coming to be Mamayit? Don't think that Get Isha and Get Shechur are the same. They're not the same. That for a Get Isha will work, but for a Get Shechur over there, we're not going to work with that. The emes is that it's a little bit Tzarech Bir. Why is it Tzarech Bir? Because why is it that Shimon Gamliel said that we'll facilitate signatures for Get Ishna, but not for all other Shtar Shars. Shimon Gamliel said it, Mefurish in our daf. He said the reason is, Shelo Yiyu B'nois Yisrael Agunois. It's Mishum Iguna Akilu Bei Rabbana. Right, that's the reason. That's what Shimon Gamliel said. If that's the case, then what's Takab Shat for a Get Shechur? It wouldn't work. What's the Kasha? The Kasha is, it's Mavur in that Sugya on daf Tes, that just like we say Mishum Iguna Kilu Bei Rabbanon, when it comes to Gitei Noshim, and when it comes to Ishos, you find the same concept when it comes to Shechur. What was the Makar? The Makar was because the Mishnah and the Braisa said that just like Chazal were Mesakin, B'fanai Nechtav, B'fanai Nechtam, for a Mevi Get Isha Mebedina Sayam, they made the same Takana for a Mevi Get Shechur. Now, the fact that a shliach is neman to say b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam, whether the reason he's saying is like Rabbi said l'fishein b'kiyum l'shma, or the reason he's saying is like Rabbi said l'fishein neidem etzuyim l'kaimon, it's all predicated. It's a mefurish gemara that based on the base of kimel amid aleph. It's the first sugi in Gittin in mishum iguna kilu bei rabbanon. Why do you have to come on to mishum iguna kilu bei rabbanon? Because he's an eid echad at the end of the day, and he's being made by davish of erva at the end of the day. Vein davish of erva pachas mishnai. The teretz is mishum iguna kilu bei rabbanon. And there's other reasons, but the core reason is Mishum Eguna, Kidu Bei Rabbanan. So the whole nemanus of the Shliach, of B'fanai Nechtav, B'fanai Nechtav, is based on It's afraid. This is the kasha and daf tesam et aleph. If that's the case, then I don't understand. What's pashup shad in this halacha that when it comes to a get shichrid, there's a takana b'fanai nechta only works leveraging the special kula of mishum eguna kilo beirabanan. The chayr by get shichrid, what shayches? Where do you have mishum eguna kilo beirabanan? And Tosfos said what sounded like a chiddush to us, and that is v'yesh loymar the chashuv igun. That an Eved Kenani who is not able to be freed is an Aguna. He's an Agun, just like an Aguna is. And for two reasons. Number one, because an Eved Kenani can't marry a Bas Chayrin. The fact that he can't marry a Bas Chayrin, that makes him an Agun. Additionally, he's not chayiv in all the mitzvahs. He's only chayiv in mitzvahs like a woman. But there's so many mitzvahs that he's not chayiv in. So he's in a matzav of aguna. And just like there's an attack, kula mishum aguna, kilo bei rabbanon, when it comes to an isha, you have the same exact thing as it relates to an Eved Kenani. And that's why the kula of b'fanai nechta, which is predicated on mishum aguna, kilo bei rabbanon, applies to an Eved Kenani just like it applies to an isha. If that's the case, what's pashup shan in the Gemara? Just pashup shan in the Gemara. Not a fancy question. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that we'll work with the Eden as it relates to Gerisha, but not as it relates to Get Shechar. And the reason is, Shalayu b'nois Yisrael agunois. L'chayra, by a Get Shechar, it should work. And the reason is because by a Get Shechar, you find this concept of Ogun. V'haraya, the fact that you believe a shliach to say b'fanai nechta, who spoke it out? Tosfos spoke it out. The chashiv ha'igun. You see, mafurish, you have this concept of mishum eguna kilo beirabanan. So if that's the case, what's the difference? And the emes is, if you medayik Rav Shimon Gamliel's lashon, what Rav Shimon Gamliel say? B'medvar mamurim. When are we going to work with the eidim? B'gitei nashim. Dafka b'gitei nashim. Avol b'shechrur e'avodim. But when it comes to get shechur, u'b'shar kol ashtaris and all other ashtaris. Yoidim likris v'lachtim. Chayismen v'lavim chayismen. Why did Rav Shimon Gamliel have to single out avol shechrur e'avodim? He should have just said avol b'shar kol ashtaris. He's singling out. He's giving a shout out to a get shechur. Why? Because he's saying a chiddush. He's saying, I'm bavarning, I know what's bothering you. This is the minyan alamute. Because really, b'shloisha derachim shavu gitei nashim l'shachru yavadim. Because really, you can never have made it by ba. But I'm coming lahoitzi from that. You should know, chmein tafka gitei nashim. Don't make that toys. Don't stotsu that price and say, I know there's three similarities. I may hold this four. There's probably another one. Ton of b'shayim. No, avu b'shar kalash, b'shachru yavadim, v'shar kalash toys. Lahoitzi mi liban from that London. I'm coming to tell you, I know you know this toys for this. I know. But I'm telling you now anyways, that when it comes to shachru yavadim, it's kinni different. Aba hagufa, hagabatzmacha. What's takib shah? So pashim is stum, you have to say. That even though it's true that Tosfos proved from the sugya and daftes that just like mishum eguna kilo beirabanan, when it comes to noshim, it's also true when it comes to avadim, but it's probably not on the same level. Ala rishayna manu mitzarin, the oilam was tumbling about this. What's takib shah in the post game, right? As far as understanding mishum eguna kilo beirabanan when it comes to an Eved Kenani. So the fact that you find more of a mishum eguna kilo beirabanan as it relates to an isha than it does by an Eved Kenani is probably nishtak velt. It actually is maybe even mistaber. And as a result, you probably can't even ask such a kasha. That's the stum of the pashup shah. But just to be moisif, one knetch in pnimius. And that is, I'll tell you something very interesting. The whole concept of aguna is very, very fascinating. Why? Because on the one hand, the chaymer of the sugya is on the highest level. You're dealing with an eishes ish. An eishes ish that gets married, kol bia ubia is chavi krisos. The ketushin is not even toifis. If she has a child, the child is going to be a mamzer. It's the most chamor, maybe, parsha in the Torah. It's in the conversation. It's extremely, extremely chum. Yet at the same time, mishum aguna kilo beirabanan, in an incredible, incredible way. You find kulis in the sugya of aguna that you don't find anywhere else. The fact that an eid echad is believed when it comes to eidas isha, rebbeinu da'alma kula. It's from the hardest halacha, shmeitz zayin. It's impossible to even fathom. Ein dovah shever v'pachas mishnayim. You can't get 50 cents out of a person unless you have two eidim. But when it comes to being matta, this woman, because an eid echad thinks maybe he saw the person, he recognized him by his nose, already you're going to be matta this woman. It's a chiddush naira. Psulim that are never believed are believed. Drisha v'chakira. not needed when it comes to sugyas of eguna. Today's daf, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no worries, work with the Eidim. But you're dealing with a shtar milva because somebody loaned his friend $100? Absolutely not. I'll never rely on such a kula. So it's, on the one hand, so chomer, on the other hand, it's so kal. Rech Hazal already said, but the bottom line is, the whole concept of aguna is fascinating. And that's why when you learn tshuvas, and we did together as a chabur in the end of Masechtas Yevamos, we had aguna part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, so we got a little bit of a toyameh of how the Gedolim approached it. But on the one hand, they approached it with the sensitivity that they're dealing with the most chomer inyan imaginable, but at the same time, where you have to go out of your way, jump through hoops to find kulas. I think it's one of the great oxymorons that you find in halacha. That on the one hand, you treat this as super, super chomer, but then again, with a certain idea of we're going to go out of our way and we're going to create coolers and say svaras and shtiklach Torah that we would never say if it was Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Nida, or some other area in Allah. So it's a fascinating, fascinating dichotomy. But I'll tell you one interesting thing that Paiskim in different places quoted, and really it comes from a tshuva from the Bach. So this is in Shailos Tshuvas HaBach. And the person talking in this tshuva was the Shail, it wasn't the Bach himself. So the Shoyl tells the Bach as follows. He tells him, Vihine, Chas v'sholem, he's writing a tshuva related to an aguna. Al tachshavu li l'gaiva. Don't see me as a balgaiva, she'echnasti roishi b'dvarim evu. Taminu li, v'neklosi oid mezeh. The reason I'm doing this is, lahatir b'china ketana, she'b'chinas ho'aguna alo yoyna. The reason I'm doing this is because I want to be matter of b'china ketana, of the aguna el yoina. This is way above our pay grade. I should have prefaced it by saying that. Asher al zeh nami yom ha-shloima. That shloima melech said in Koheles, ro'isi es dimas o'ashukim, ve'ein lehem menachem. And when he said, ro'isi es dimas o'ashukim, ve'ein lehem menachem, he said, I saw the tears of the ashukim, namish, the people that are so tzebrachim, and there's no way to be menachem. What he meant was, obviously, there are ashukim, unfortunately, in the world, but he also was referring to the Eibishter. And he said, on some level, there's an idea of the aguna el yoyna. And the aguna el yoyna is ashuk, and is dimas ashukim asher ein lehem menachem. So he said a dover nifla. He said, v'chol mi shematur aguna achas bizman hazeh. Any person that's matur one aguna in this world, ki lubona achas michur viz Yerushalayim el yoyna. What he's doing is, he's being menachem, the Eibishter, the aguna el yoyna, from this dimas ashukim asher ein lehem menachem. Lahatzel bechina achas min eishes chayil, v'day lohovin. This is what he writes. So he says, really, I should not be getting involved in something that's above my pay grade. But at the same time, said the Shoyl, and his name was Menachem Mendel Shtengi. But he writes to the Bach that I'm doing it because I understand was tutzich when you're matter in aguna. When you're matter in aguna in this world, somehow that's matter in aguna in the next world. And it's such a nechama to kaviyochel that the dimas ashukim that are in lahem menachim somehow get nechama. And he says, that's the reason I'm getting involved in this inyan. That means is that this idea that this yid, this gadol, wrote to the Bach is something that the Chidah talks about in different places in his svarim. One of the places that the Chidah mentions this is, he talks in a sefer Nachal Eshkol. Says as follows. The pasuk says in the beginning of Eicha, Besuleha nugois vehi marla. Besuleiseha nugois. The besuleis, they were bitzar vehi marla. The efshe lirmois, but mashakos besuleha nugois vehi marla. This is in Nachal Eshkol, right in the beginning of Eicha. The tzar beisha, when a woman is bitzar, negeya kaviyoch l'shchino. It touches the shchino. Kama isha amru berayim hemna. Kol noshe Yisrael, bekneses Yisrael achidon. That the Noshe Yisrael have more of a shaykhis to the Shechina than the Mendo. V'chein ro'isi. Bepsak iguna lehetera. I once saw, says the Chidah, a tshuva that was negei agunois. Shnechosam by a rabba mekubel, ir v'kadish, rab Aaron Chayon. Shekosav. This is what he wrote. This was a makobel that signed on a heter aguna. The yan geya igun zebe is a pratzar l'shchina. That being that I know a pikabola that when you matter an aguna, it rears on the tzar l'shchina. Lochein nitpa leheter. He says that's why I'm being matter. Zeu toyer tvar of zah. So says the chida. Vezeu shekasav. That's the taych in the pasuk. Gebesulay seha nugois. The besulan were betzar. They were agunois. Val yedeiz a kaviyochel he hashchina. Marla, the Shechina had tzar. Psulei se'a nugais v'hi marla. When there's an aguna in this world and she's bitzar, that tzar is noigeya kaviyocha l'shechina. And it ties into this dimaso ha'shukim that's the Ein l'menachem. And if a rav has a koyach to be matur an aguna in this world, so being matur the aguna is going to somehow release and give some nechama to the iguna el yoyna. And that's this inyan that's happening. Chida talks about this in the Sefer Dvash Lefi as well. Over there he says that's the oimik of Ischar Noshim Tzidkoni Ois Nigul Yisov in Mitzrayim. He says, because some geulois were Isarusa de Lesata, but Golos Mitzrayim, Kleisul, and Noschosim, it was all Isarusa de Le'ela, it was all from the Ebishta. And that's Bischar Noshim Tzidkoni Ois, that Noshim Tzidkoni Ois is referring to the Shechina, that's Tzedek, and he talks about this inyan, but I'll call upon him again, way above our pay grade. But what emerges is an interesting thing, and this is something that's quoted in Judas. And that is that there's an inyan of Meshum Iguna, Akilu Bei Rabbanon, that was written in Tshuvas, where you find this concept, this patent, that relates to this idea of the Iguna El Yoyna. Nemesis would mention one Tshuva. That is, Rabbi Avadya Yosef, in a Tshuva, this is in Yabia Omer, it's Chelek Vav, it's Eben Es Simen Gimel. I'll read it to you inside, one paragraph, just to see. This is Maran Avadya. So he's going to sit down, and he's going to write a classic Shabbat classic, where he's going to quote every Maram Mokim, and every Cheshbon, and every Sfar Yisar of Asadon Devel. And this is how he prefaced his Tshuva. It was right after the Yom Kippur War. Be'ikvis Melchemes Yom HaKippurim. Nispakashti Michaverai Harav HaGoyin Rav Mordechai Piron Harav HaRoshi B'Tzahal V'Harav HaGoyin Gad Navon Skan Harav HaRoshi B'Tzahal Losheves Yachet Itam B'Roish Beis Hadin L'Inyoni Agunois Kidei Lodun V'Lifsoik B'Korv Le'Elef Tikim Shel Cholulei Tzahal HaKdoishim HaShem Yim Kamdomam Asher Hoyin Nesuim close to 1,000 members of the Tzahal that were married V'Shiru HaChareyim Almonoi Siroi Sliyomim and they left over young wives. And they're all agunois now. The afal gaf says Rav Avadya, Kimli ben Avshoy ki katointi mi oid mi lodum bedine ervach amura. He says, even though I know that really I'm not qualified to paskin shailos like this. Uberfrat be iser eshes isha chamamoy. That's how all the poiskim approach the nagunos sugya. Uberfrat when it comes to eshes ish. Venavchi oidas ma oid goidul achrayesh abedov. And my nefesh, in a deep place, I understand the achrayes. Vekobed elay adobe ma oid mi koitzer amasik. The Oimek HaMusik. Koitzer HaMasik. I'm not Masik so much. And the Oimek HaMusik. The sugi is a very, very deep sugi. Ulam Nosati Elibi. So really, I was going to walk away from 1,000 Aguna Shailas. You ready? He said, but I told myself, Mashikosa V'Rav HaPoisik B'Shailas HaChuvas HaBacha HaKadoshois. B'Psaktin Leheter Aguna. Lahatur B'chine K'tana She'B'Pchines O Aguna HaGdoilo. Sh'Ole Oima Shlemer O'Isi Dimas HaShuk V'Ein L'Menachim. Etc., etc., Adkan. So Rabbi Avadya said, I really didn't think I was qualified. But at the same time, I thought of what the Shoyl wrote in the Bach. V'cheinu b'shalos yeshuvas gali mesechta. And he starts talking about this whole Indian, and I felt 1,000 opportunities now. We could be matter so much of the Aguna El Yoyna. This is what he writes. How could I walk away from it? So one of the Marmakayimus that he shtells to here in this is, he says, take a look at what the Marsham wrote. And this is in Chelek Aleph. It's Simen Pei Dalet. So this is at the end of a long Aguna Shaila. Mamesh et Agansa Tshuva from the Brzhanerov. So he says at the end, last few lines. V'yan shem avur b'tshuvas bacha chadoshes. Snoiv sem in samich dalet. Ki mi shem matur aguna achas bezman hazeh. Ki lubona achas michurvis Yerushalayim el yoyna. Lehatzel b'china achas min esh eschayel. So he said, v'chein hu b'nachal kudumen al eich. B'shem harav ha-kodesh rab arin chayot. Mamesh all the marmakayimus we just quoted. Lochein nikhtchakti ligmar ha-tshuva. So he said, therefore, when I wrote this tshuva, I tried hard. Nikhtchakti ligmar ha-tshuva hayoyim. He said, I decided I'm going to finish the Tshuva today. And Rabbi Avadya brings it and he said, what was he referring to? Tisha B'Av. I thought maybe Shavuos of a time, you don't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. But maybe he held this was a tzorech, because this is Nechama. This is mamish, your kilu bana achas mechurmis Yishalayim, which is the avoid on Tisha B'Av. I think it sounds like there's a major chiddush l'alacha that the Marshan just threw in at the end. Rabbi Vadya said he meant Tisha B'Av. So on Kopanim, he said because he understood that this Indian, you're being matted al-guna el-yoyna, and that's why he went ahead and he threw this in. One of the things Rabbi Vadya says is that he brings the truth from the Shavuos Yaakov, that the Shavuos Yaakov said that to be matter in Aguna is a shayla pekuach nefesh. There's a truth from the Shavuos Yaakov, it's in Chelek Aleph, and it's Simin, Tez Yudalid, and there was a shayla about taking Eidos and paskening a shayla on Shabbos. Bezdin is not really supposed to convene on Shabbos, but it's the Shavuos Yaakov said, V'lechein nirli poshet, the heter poshet u lekabal edusoy, v'al yis'atzmu, k'moyshe ein l'is'atzel b'pekuach nefesh. That's what he says. Just like he can't be mis'atzel when it comes to b'pekuach nefesh, he can't be mis'atzel in this either. So Rabbi Vadya says, you see the Shavuos Yaakov treated Aguna like a shayla of b'pekuach nefesh. He brings from a tshuva from the Beis Yosef who also treated it like a b'pekuach nefesh. I'll tell you something fascinating. It got really, really late, literally. But just one other knage, and that is one of the tshuvas that we've spoken at many times and prefaced it by saying, Hafachba, Vafachba, the Kulaba. This is Mamish Niva Velayada Manasnava, another Knesh you can take out, which is a famous tshuva Chassam Sofer. We have read by Sundays, tshuva Kuf Mem Hei and Erechayim. The tshuva was written to Rabbi Shlomo Kluger. It was written in Topkuf Tzadik Aleph when the Chassam Sofer was very, very not well, and he wasn't really writing tshuvas, and he wasn't giving drashas. And right, that was the one time it was hard for him to give shiurim. Kiyudu, we spoke about this in the Petuchei Chayisim shiur. But the bottom line is, in Topkuf Tzadik Aleph, the Chassam Sofer was very, very sick, and he wrote a letter to Reb Shlomo Kluger. And the reason he wrote this letter was because it was a whole maisa where there was a rav who is nameless, but at the bottom they tell you is Rabbi Lazar Landau, the Inikol Denoy Deb Yehuda, another Presburg to Prague connection, the author of the Yad HaMelech on the Rambam, where he was matter, if you remember this, Ksiva Saget on Shavuos, still a shtickle in Yad HaDiyayma, Ksiva Saget on Shavuos, the second day of Yontem Meshum Eguna. So there was a man that was about to die, and he had a brother that was in Rome. He was in Rome. And this woman was going to end up being an Aguna, because there was no way they were going to ever find him. If he divorces his wife, she's not going to fall a Yibam. So they were matter, Ksiva Saget, on Yontif Sheni Shal Shavuos, using the coolers of Yontif Sheni, Befrat, as it relates to a mace, etc. And this is what they were. And Rabbi Shlomo Kluger was Meicha, and it was a Shigal Machloik between him and Rabbi Lazar Landau. So he writes to him. But either way, Sir Rabbi Shlomo Kluger writes to the Chassam Sofer that I know, I need you to support me. I need defense. I feel bad. And this is what he says. He said, Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, that I can't shlofen by Nach. I mean, he didn't say those words, but proverbially speaking, why? Because I didn't allow the Ksivas Aget, and because of me, this woman was an Aguna. And he writes as follows, I need Chizik, I need you to be Mechazik, me, tell me that what I said, my psak was the right psak. Uleman loitia koil demei ho'isha tzoyeka seilai lemar, ke ani chayavti bedomo. Amarti loatzia dvar lefnei kfoid adros goyim loidia miyofa hayreisei chas v'shol m'shogisi. Ki kol chachme hakilu k'doi chachzik hu'imi zulas v'chul. He didn't want to write who it was, Rabbi Lozen Landa. But the bottom line is, he writes to him, l'man loitia kol dmei ho'isha tzoyekes olai lemur ki ani chayafti b'doma. You have to be medayik l'shoyna mazov shal tzadikim. Sicha schulin shal tamidah chachamim estrichim talmud. He was talking about Pekuach Nefesh. He means the Shavuos Yaakov. He means the Tshuva Beis Yosef. It's Pasha. And that's in Pekuach Nefesh. L'man lo tia kold me yo'isha tzoyekos alai lemer ki ani chayafti bedom. But the bottom line is, that's what Rabbi Vadya said. Rabbi Vadya said because of this Indian, he felt, because of the aguna shal al-yoyna, he felt an impetus that even though he's not really royal kach, this is something that he's going to do. L'mais at the end, this is the end of the Hakdom. He says, "L'fichach samti miftachi b'Hashem shiur ina b'tayrasai." I betochen that the Ebeshtu was going to enlighten me. V'natarti lebakoshes harabonos hatzvos v'yashabnu yachab b'moysef flasa kechado. We went through it. V'acher ha'iyun v'hadiyun b'choltik b'fnei atzmai. We went through each aguna shayla independently. This wasn't like a one size fits all heter ki yodua. This was, he went through each individual aguna. Haitzanu piskei din lahataras. He said that every single one of these women were free. And every single one he was able to be matir. But the bottom line is, what emerges in the world of Pnimius anyways, that when you talk about Meshum Iguna, Akilu Bei Rabbanon, so obviously there's the Pashib Shah, there's the Tam Nigla, Tam Nista Reichet. And in the Tam Nista, there's an idea that when we're matir and Aguna in this world, Dimasa Ashukin, the Imam Menachem, gets a shtickle Nechama. And you're going to tell me, okay, this is already Kabbalah de Gatayra. It's in the Tshuva Sabach. It's in the Tshuva Marsham. It's in the Tshuva from the Abiya Omer. The Gedolei Yisrael use this and they work with this in their Inyan of Meshumaguna Akilu Beirabana. So maybe to use a very Kabbalistic idea to answer maybe a simple question, and that is, you have a guna when it comes to an Isha, you have a guna when it comes to an Eved Kanani. And that is, when it comes to the Isha, there's also, again, we're working previous now. That's the disclaimer before and after. So it could be, that's certainly a reason that we'd be more mekel when it comes to Noshin than when it comes to Avadim. And the emes is, what was the Lashon of the Gemara? Amar Abalazim, my time with the Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shlayiu b'nois Yisrael agunois. B'nois Yisrael, didn't just say Mishum Aguna Akilu Bei Rabbana. Mishum Aguna Akilu Bei Rabbana, that passes for an Eved Kanani also. But this Inyan of Dimaso Ashukim Ve'in Lamin, that shaykhis between the Shechina and the Noshim, that the Sifrei Kabbalah say that the Noshim are achidam b'knesses Yisrael, more so than the Anoshim. That's a din in Noshim. It's a din in Noshim, like the Chidah says, and as is mavur in the Sfarim, as it relates to this Inyan. If that's the case, more of a reason to be mekel when it comes to Aguna de Noshim than when it does to Aguna of Anoshim, even in Eved Kanani, who's hookish to an Isha, and even though you already find on Daftes, Mishum Aguna Akilu Bei Rabbana, Abba Sadan, Afgemina between Dav, Mishum Aguna Akilu Bei Rabbana, and between an Eved Kanani and an Isha, Alpi Nigla, it's not such a great sakasha about Pi Nigla, it's Nichan and Akasha. Because the whole Indian of Mishum Aguna Akilu Bei Rabbana, Shleyu B'nois Yisrael, that's on a whole different Ramah.